He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Friday. It is the Friday, April the 5th, 2024 edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And Barry has the morning off. Well, I'll be handling the show here today. Let's see if I can do it without my sidekick. We had a good day going on in the market yesterday at this time, and by the end of the day, it got thrashed. What happened? Well, now we are up this morning, but not anywhere near what we lost yesterday. The Dow right now is up an even 100 points. That's a quarter of a percent. Dow is at 38,697. The S&P is up 29. That puts it at 5,174. The NASDAQ is up 118. That's three quarters of a percent. Small caps are basically flat here today. That's the Russell 2000. Crude oil, which went above 86 yesterday. That's West Texas crude. Brent crude going even higher. Crude oil is at 86.46 right now. It hasn't been this high in a long time. The 10-year is up 5 basis points to 4.36. And gold is up $13 to $23.22. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only money management firm. Boy, what hit the market yesterday? That was quite a reversal pattern in the market there. The last 2 hours of the day, and from my perspective, there were a couple of big things that contributed to yesterday's big reversal. By the end of the day yesterday, you know, we were having a pretty good day, and then about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, there was kind of an earthquake that went through the market, and by the end of the day, the Dow was down 530 points. The Russell, or the S&P, was down 64 points, and the NASDAQ was down a whopping 228 points. The Dow has now broken below its 50-day moving average for the first time in many moons here, closing yesterday at 38,597. You know, the S&P 500 and NASDAQ probably down for the week when by the time we end the day. We've got valuation concerns. We're in between earnings season. Earnings season begins next week. But the two big factors that I saw yesterday, the real earthquake hit, and, you know, the market should be used to it by now, but it reacts. Neel Kashkari is the Fed governor out of Minneapolis. He's always been one for big headlines, making predictions way outside of the rest, outside of the consensus as it relates to the economy, as it relates to interest rates. And he did it once again yesterday by making the comments that, you know, we may not see a rate cut for the full year. Now, the market is so highly focused and so dang, you know, just hyperly focused on the Fed and anything they say. You know, I've always found over the years that it's best to listen to the big guy. And the big guy in the Fed is Jerome Powell. And he's been reiterating regularly, on a regular basis, that we can expect some interest rate cuts before the end of the year. But Kashkari is a guy that likes to be out there a little bit with his comments, and he totally went against what Powell has been saying and said, well, we may not see any rate cuts between now and the end of the year. So that was a little bit of a tremor, quite a tremor. And then I think the other tremor was the big spike in oil towards the end of the day yesterday. We don't know when or where or what Iran will do, but they are promising retribution for the strike that Israel made on their quasi-embassy, not really an embassy, more like a military headquarters there in Syria, in Damascus. And I think maybe the market, I also saw the travel stocks really get hit hard towards the end of the day. And maybe there was some intel out there. Maybe there was a rumor out there that a strike was imminent. That could have been the other part of that quake that hit the market late in the day. Well, obviously nothing has happened since the close of the market yesterday. We had a better-than-expected jobs report here this morning. And from my perspective, nothing has changed with the Fed's outlook. Despite Kashkari out of Minneapolis saying that, I don't think we'll get any rate cuts by the end of the year. And that the market doesn't want to hear that, Neil. And I know you like headlines, and I know you like to impact the markets a lot, but I'm going to stick with the big guy, what Powell's been saying, and that is that there will be a few rate cuts. So anyways, that was quite a dramatic turn in the market. It was a big reversal day in the market. I didn't see anything get hit especially hard other than AMD. And I see AMD is bouncing a little bit here today. AMD is up 2.8%, but yesterday it was down about 7%. AMD is below its 50-day moving average. It's probably the second most important chip stock, it and ASML, behind NVIDIA. And, of course, you know what NVIDIA has done. It's led the entire market here for about a year. AMD has come down to its support level at or near its support level and is bouncing off that support level here today. Okay, well, so nothing has happened on the Iran front other than Russia moving some troops in there near the Golan Heights. Syria seems to be a base that Iran is using and relying on quite heavily. And for that reason, you know, Israel struck, took out two generals that were operating from that base in Damascus and basically guiding the wars in Gaza and in the border there on Lebanon. So another, well, one other thing, gold. Okay, gold obviously is sensitive to both of these factors, right? Gold is looking forward to a rate cut. And Kashkari's comment should have made gold go down, but no, gold instead continues to spike to new highs. And I'm just saying that gold and oil are speaking to the tension in the Middle East, which is really rising. You've got the U.S. and Israel at odds with one another. You've still got that southern part of Gaza that has not been invaded yet. The job that Netanyahu wants to finish has not been finished yet. You still have not had a full investigation of the aid trucks that were hit by Israel. You still don't have really a consensus there on what should happen next. So anyways, that's part of what's going on in the market. Forget earnings, you know, forget about inflation, forget about interest rates. We've also got we've got geopolitics that are impacting the market in a big way. Well, we did have a good jobs report here this morning. U.S. jobs growth totals 303,000 in March. That was way above the consensus of 212,000. That's inflationary. this would this would favor the crowd that says it's going to be late fall, which we believe, before the first rate cut, and then maybe we'll have a couple more between now and the end, between then and the end of the year. But if you're on the Kashkari side of things, saying I don't see any rate cuts at all, you would be saying then that's backed up by this jobs report that came out today. This is the official U.S. jobs growth report, the non-farm payrolls report, showing an increase of 303,000 jobs in March. Okay, we'll come back. We'll take a look at the reaction of the markets here this morning, and a lot more news coming. This is the Best Stocks Now show. Here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, we continue to have a decent recovery. We haven't gotten anywhere near what we lost yesterday. The Dow was down 530 points yesterday. It's up 80 today. Okay, we'll take it. But we're a long ways from where we were. And again, I think it was two things yesterday. It was Kashkari's comments. He is an FOMC member, and he always, I can't ever remember when his comments weren't way out of the range of the consensus. You know, I think obviously the world on edge a little bit here with retaliation by Iran. Where will it happen? There's even talk that it could be in the United States also, in addition to Israel or wherever the case may be, whether it's an embassy. I looked it up. Nine Israeli embassies here in the U.S., including Atlanta, Washington, D.C., Los Angeles, San Francisco, Houston, etc. So anyways, I think that put the market on edge. How do I know? Well, when you see oil prices spike like they have, and when you see gold prices spike like they have, that's pretty much a sure indicator of what the market, at least, is expecting or thinking. In fact, Brent crude, that's how Europe measures their oil, topped $90 for the first time since October as Middle East tensions spike. So you're going back 6 months, the last time we had Brent crude above $90 per barrel as the Middle East threatens to boil over into a wider regional war. So we'll see what develops. I stay on top of that news coming out of the Middle East because it's part of my job, being a steward over those folks' portfolios that I manage. I just feel like the more information you have, you know, the better you are in making decisions. Have I sold anything? No, I sold one stock yesterday, but not really because of world condition, just because it hasn't been performing. It hasn't lived up to my expectations. And I thought, you know, why carry this risk, market risk, with this stock when the stock's not helping me anyway? It has not exactly done what I thought it would do. So anyway, Kashkari also made another bold statement yesterday. You Bitcoin folks, the Bitcoin bros are not going to like what he said. Bitcoin, he says, has had no legitimate use case in more than a decade. He said it's more of a consumer protection issue than a financial stability risk. In other words, he's saying, you know, the Fed probably shouldn't be involved with Bitcoin, but definitely the Consumer Protection Agency should be watching out for folks. He said that consumers are investing money in Bitcoin, not knowing what they're investing in. Well, I would agree with that. I still can't quite figure it out. I've been a professional money manager for the last 25 years, seen a lot of things come and go. Still pretty cryptic to me. He says the cryptocurrency is so volatile that some people could be put in a lot of harm's way. He said that Bitcoin's hard cap could go down to zero and compared it to Beanie Babies with no actual utility in the economy other than being a nice toy that some people enjoy owning and trading. Well, if you don't remember Beanie Babies, that was a craze. I've seen Pokemon come along. I remember when Pogs were a thing. What happened to these non-fungible tokens? Even Trump was rolling out non-fungible tokens of cartoon characters. There have been lots of crazes that have come along. And that seemingly there's no end to it, you know. Only this is a big, more widespread than Beanie Babies, I guess. And there's a lot more money involved here than Beanie Babies. I think the market cap of Bitcoin is well over $1 trillion. So anyways, he added that the only use cases he has seen are cases where traders are trying to subvert banking regulations, get around either marijuana banking or illicit activities, which I would say a lot of these big state actors and terror networks use Bitcoin because of the, you know, the kind of cryptic way that it is handled. The Bitcoin bros would say in 1994, no one ever brought a book online. So someone could say Amazon has no future. Well, he says this is not Amazon. Amazon ended up having earnings. Bitcoin has been around for more than a decade, and more than a decade later, there's still no legitimate use case in an advanced democracy. Okay, so Neil Kashkari, he's always known for making very controversial statements. And this was a big part of the 530-point sell-off in the market yesterday. Okay, here's a case of a stock with a big, big dividend yield that got whacked pretty good yesterday. I always warn that when you see these big, big dividend yields, beware. Well, AbbVie was at about 4.5%, something like that, dividend yield. It's been even higher than that in the past year. It got hit pretty hard yesterday after revising their guidance to reflect earnings impact. I know there's some, I believe there's some, you know, some of the generic drug makers coming into their space right now. And AbbVie's big product, obviously, is Humira. So anyways, that was a stock that I noticed yesterday. Another stock that I noticed, and it's official, Johnson & Johnson, which is searching for some growth. But this doesn't seem to be the ticket. It's pretty much a drop in the bucket. They're buying Shockwave, which comes as no shock. We've owned Shockwave in the past. It was definitely a disruptor, a disruptive company. We used to have a lot of coverage in San Diego, where I'm from, on the, you know, the different arterial going into your arteries. Guidant was a big one in Southern California that eventually got bought out, I want to say, by Boston Scientific. It was all about the stents, which were a very disruptive and a very useful technology that came along and, you know, we able to clear arteries of plaque and then put in a stent to keep those arteries from closing. And Shockwave came along with a little bit different way of doing it. Instead of the drill, the little drill going through your arteries, they do it with Shockwaves, which I believe they treat kidney stones that same way also these days. So anyways, it looks like Johnson & Johnson will be buying Shockwave. Shockwave's up 5.5% today on that news. Johnson & Johnson is still a low single-digit grower. We'll be right back. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. Back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, the market's holding up so far with its gains, holding on to its gains. We'll see. We've got several hours to go before the close of the market. And yesterday was quite a wild ride. The market was doing okay all day long. I mean, we were up about 0.5% or something like that. And then all of a sudden, there was a massive reversal in the market. A tremor going through the market. And as I looked at the reasons why, I saw that Kashkari spoke right around 2 p.m. That's about when the market started to sell off. But I also saw going down with it, and they were already weak before, strong, actually, the oil stocks, and the gold stocks, precious metals. And then, of course, the commodity stocks been pretty strong recently. And I saw a lot of the travel-related stocks selling off yesterday. So that's the quake that came through the market yesterday. Okay, Iger, Disney. You know what? I mean, that at least is behind them now. He can focus his efforts on getting some growth back into the company at Disney. But they're going to start password sharing crackdown in June. So beware. Okay, if you've been passing that password around, they're coming after you. Well, they're not coming after you, but they're going to crack down and make it very difficult to share your password on their streaming business, which has not really lived up to expectations as far as profitability goes. Saxo Bank expects the price of gold to potentially make an extension towards $2,500 an ounce later in the year. Well, I think if you were to get several rate cuts later in the year, or even talk of several rate cuts, that is possible. Gold, they say, remains a buy on the dip market. Now, obviously, you can buy gold in several ways. You can buy gold ETFs on the market, gold mutual funds. You can buy gold stocks. You can buy physical gold, have it delivered to your home. Those are the various ways of having exposure to the precious metals. Now, it has been a buy the dip market, and my app does differentiate between the gold stocks, because there are definitely some good ones. The good ones aren't as numerous as the very mediocre ones. There's a lot of junior gold miners, etc., that have not really done very well over the years. But, there's some favorites that I usually look at when the metals heat up. El Dorado Gold, EGO, has always been a good one. I'm just going to take a look here at my app, see if anything is coming up here. Precious metals. Okay, there we go. So you click on precious metals in the app. Harmony Gold is an A+. You believe it or not, Harmony Gold, HMY, is ranked number 3 overall in the entire app out of 5,300. El Dorado Gold is ranked number 9 overall, an overall grade of A. Harmony Gold has an overall grade of A+. That's hard to get. That means valuation and momentum coming together. Then it's quite a stretch back down to Anglo Gold, AU, which is out of South Africa. It's ranked number 4, or number 52. It's ranked number 3 in the gold sector. That's AU. Central Fund of Canada, which is kind of a depository, is pretty much tracks the price of gold. It's ranked number 81 out of 5,300. ASA Limited, number 95. And then you go clear to Cameco, which is gold and more so uranium. And then Gold Fields, GFI, number 368 out of 5,300. Two more that are ranked B-plus or better. Agnico Eagle, AEM, been around a long time. And Barrick, which is probably the blue chip of the gold companies. Its symbol is G-O-L-D. So those are the leading gold stocks. If I was wanting exposure to gold stocks, those would be the ones that I would look at. I wouldn't be going outside of those. So we'll see if they're right. $2,500 is what they are predicting. Now, here is today's hot little stock. Is Saudi Arabia going to get in on the semiconductor industry? Aramco has signed an agreement with GCT Semiconductor Holdings. They've signed a memo of understanding. GCTS setting the stage for a strategic collaboration that would further develop the 4G, 5G ecosystem in Saudi Arabia for both mission-critical and public safety networks. Well, before this was a pretty unknown chip stock. In fact, it's been trading around $10 a share. I believe it was a SPAC before this. Special, whatever that stands for, special acquisition, you remember when we had the SPACs. Okay, now all of a sudden, this stock goes to $50 a share 2 weeks ago, from 10 to 50, on news that Saudi Arabia is looking to team with them. Not NVIDIA, not AMD, not Intel, but GCTS, which is headquartered in San Jose, California. The stock, now it's back to $50. Then it goes back below $10 a share, where it was before all of this hoopla took place. Then it got cleared down to $5 a share. Now it's up 52% today. So if you're a trader, traders love volatility. This stock's got volatility, plenty of it. It's $8.80 today. Of 53%, as Saudi Arabia is looking to team up with them to develop 5G. You could say NVIDIA, AI, I'm sure, kind of chips. Micron could see $3 billion in sales and high bandwidth memory revenues by 2025. And, of course, Micron has really established itself. We found out that flash memory does play a big role in artificial intelligence in the servers and in the various aspects of artificial intelligence. And Micron has exploded. I remember back in the early 2000s, Micron was one of the hottest stocks around because of the advances and the leadership that they had in flash memory. And the interesting part about Micron was J.R. Simplot, who was the potato king up in Boise, who made the deal to supplied McDonald's with their French fries, their potatoes to make French fries. He also was a big investor and founder, one of the founders of Micron Technology, a totally different kind of chip than a potato chip. But Micron is now a $135 billion company. And they are benefiting wildly. And in the mouth of two witnesses, Samsung, which competes with Micron, they see a 931% jump in first quarter profit as chip prices bounce back. Yeah, now the symbol on Samsung, it trades very thinly. It's very difficult to invest in. It's SSNLF. SSNLF. And here's good news for Texas. More good news for Texas. Samsung is going to boost their Texas chip spending to $44 billion. They plan to boost their semiconductor investment in Texas, which had a little exposure before. Of course, Texas Instruments was there for a long time, and they are taking away Arizona, also getting some chip industry in their state. But they want to strengthen their revival in the U.S. chip space, Samsung. They're the South Korea memory chip maker, and good news there for Texas. Okay, when we come back, well, one other one. The U.S. is seeking, they're putting the heat on the Netherlands, on the Dutch, about ASML's servicing tools in China. They're saying, hey, you got to cut that out. ASML is probably the second biggest player in AI behind NVIDIA. And then when we come back, we'll talk about another potential deal in a stock that we own, and then we'll take a look underneath the hood of the market today. We'll be right back. You got to go. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, did you feel it? I guess there was a 4.7 earthquake that just rattled the eastern seaboard up in the New York area. I did not feel it down here in South Carolina. We had an earthquake go through the market yesterday about 2 p.m. It's recovering somewhat from that earthquake. Today, one of the stocks yesterday that was way up, in fact, probably the stock of the day yesterday, was one that we own in our Ultra Growth portfolio. The Ultra Growth portfolio currently has just 15 stocks in it, but it's done very, very well since we started it back on January 1st, 2019. I'll be updating the newsletter today, tomorrow, sending it out tomorrow late afternoon, early afternoon, as soon as I get it done. And you can see what's in those in that Ultra Growth portfolio. That's a very select list when you narrow it down to just 15 stocks. One of the 15 is HubSpot, H-U-B-S, which, you know, is kind of a, they make portals, I suppose, for your customer experience and where companies, you know, and the customers come together. It's been one of the great stocks, really, of all time. It was 25 cents in earnings back in 2017. This year they're looking for $7 in earnings. Next year they're looking for $8.38. It's averaged 40% earnings growth over the last 5 years. It is now a $34 billion company. It's in the software sector. It's out of Cambridge, Massachusetts. I'm sure they felt the tremor up there. But the talk is that Google, I think personally that Google's going to have a hard time buying anybody with all of the antitrust, worries and, going after Apple, obviously. Google, I think it would be very difficult, but that's the rumor that they're going to buy HubSpot. There must be something to it. Because Hubs broke out, it was one of the best performers in the market yesterday, broke out to a new 52-week high, and it's up another 3.3% today. So we're happy with Hubs. We bought it in January of last year, so we have a long-term capital gain of 113% in Hubs. We bought it at $318.55. And it's now in the $678 area, more than a double. We did trim it at one point because it had become such a large position in that portfolio. But we still have a 4% overall position in our ultra growth portfolio, which has done really well again this year. And that's the rumor that Google is looking at it. Okay, now if we look underneath the hood of the market here today, that's always interesting. You see stuff that you don't see. You know, you hear, well, the Dow's up 47 points today, but it's really what's doing it that's more important. Look at the Dow today, or the S&P 500. I mean, that's a very strong day. That's well diversified. The top performer in the S&P 500 once again is GE. And now it's called GE Aerospace because they've separated out a lot of the non-aerospace business into a spinoff. It's up 5.2% today. What a turnaround. This is incredible what GE has accomplished. What this aerospace division, GE Aerospace, is a $169 billion company after they spun out the healthcare, the medical division. The number two performer in the market, it was also a very strong performer yesterday. It's following through today. One of the most unpopular CEOs in the world, in Zuckerberg. Meta is up 3.2% today. Meta is a big holding here at Gunderson Capital Management. Wow, that is a tremendous, nice, beautiful move in Meta. We have a big gain in Meta. We bought it in July of last year, and then we added it to our dividend portfolio when Meta earlier this year, about two months ago, announced that they would start paying a dividend. And so it's a very large position at Gunderson Capital Management. It's not only in our premier growth portfolio, but it's in our dividend and growth portfolio. Look at that chart. That's one of the most powerful charts in the market. They've had two sensational quarters in a row. And, you know, whether you like the CEO or not, we're in the business of trying to make money for our clients. And Meta continues to be one of the best growth stocks in the entire market at the current time. All right, let's take a look at what else is moving in the S&P 500 today. Very good broad move here in a lot of different sectors. ServiceNow is up 3%. That's a software company. Amazon, I would also say that's another stock that's really impressive recently. Very impressive. That is another excellent chart on Amazon, and Amazon is also one of our largest holdings. And there is talk, now that it's in the Dow, that they may announce a dividend at their next meeting. Not that it really matters, but it would open it up. A lot of these dividend ETFs, dividend mutual funds, you know, they can only buy stocks that pay a dividend, and right now Amazon does not. That would just open it up to more investors, it would seem. And Amazon's breaking out to new all-time highs again today, almost new all-time highs. It's just a couple of bucks underneath its all-time high of 188. It's closing in on $2 trillion. And then the fourth best performer in the S&P is AMD, gaining back about 3% of what it lost yesterday. Hey, this has been a fun show. There's a lot going on in the market. There's a lot going on in the world. We continue to be very vigilant, and the daycare center is open from early in the morning until after the market closes. You can have an analysis of what you currently own by our team. You can get a retirement plan from our team, 855-611-BEST, to see the newsletter that I'll be penning or typing up this weekend. Get two free weeks at GundersonCapital.com. Have a great weekend, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.